Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Family Jewels,
a podcast about family drama, and everything else you got from your mama. Family Jewels. When you're here, you're family.
Cease and desist from Olive Garden pending.
This is my sister from another Mr. Charlie Dinkin.
And this is my glamorous colleague, Olga Koch.
We started this podcast because when you talk shit about other people, it's gossip.
But when you talk shit about your family, it's research.
Today we are joined by the multi-hyphenate, the one and only.
Truly, stand-up. Mainly stand-up. Yeah. Writer, but podcaster. Mm. Would you consider yourself an actor?
Yes and no. I do act and have acted, but I've not done anything recently. So,
all right.
It's on my website, stand up writer actor. So I'd love some acting jobs. Sorry, yeah, let me retake that. Yes, I am an actor. Book me for acting jobs.
The incredible, the producer of this very show, Mr. Andrew White.
Hello. Woo. Thank you.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. A glamorous colleague is the most positive introduction you've ever given Olga. It's very, it's quite
I know,
nice.
I couldn't think of anything mean to say.
There is this late night talk show interview of Grace and Frankie stars. Is it Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda?
Yes. Yeah.
And so Jane Fonda is like, Lily Tomlin's my sister. She's everything to me. I love her. And Lily Tomlin's like, Jane Fonda's a woman I work with.
And after watching, that is our dynamic.
And I was like, oh my God, this is us. In 20 years? You'll never know how old we are. Andrew.
Yes, hello.
First and foremost, can you talk us through your family tree?
I actually, in preparation for this, I got my mother to research my family tree back to the 800s, just for this podcast. No, it's a personal hobby of hers. She does it
all
the time.
Thank you, mummy.
But what resources does she use for this?
I believe she goes on like ancestry.com. We definitely got her some sort of package for Christmas.
Okay.
My granddad really liked doing that. He passed away this year, but he really loved going through all our family history.
Do you go to like the National Archive? Do you go to a library?
Well, it's at a sort of dead end. So we do need to go to a physical place.
Wait, so how far back did you get?
So it goes to the 1500s, and then there's a massive gap, and then we know that we came over from with the Norman invasion.
Yo, 1500s surely is enough. Surely goes far
enough.
She's
not happy. She's never satisfied.
She's got to know.
Yeah. Until we get back to like Charlemagne or whatever, like the...
So French. You're French.
Yeah. Well, Norman, I believe. I think
okay,
Norman and French
are they're not French,
are
they? No. They are just their own thing.
Yeah. Well, they are. I think they are now. They probably could say they're French. But it, certainly in the invasion, the Normans hated the French. So yeah. That's always worth considering. But yeah, otherwise, this goes all the way back to 1500, to Swaffham. So we have to go to Swaffham to get the archives. If we want to go further, that's what we need to do.
So you've been on this island for ages.
What, as in stuck on like the... Well, oh, on the UK island. Yeah, sorry, yes,
stuck
yeah.
on the project of the island of you and your mother sorting out.
Yeah, I thought it was like a metaphorical
tree.
Island.
Yeah,
no,
both,
yeah.
Though, both.
Yeah, we've been here since the normal... Yeah, 1066 that would have been, yeah. Crazy.
Wow.
And I know this from the... Is it Bayeux Tapestry?
Yeah, have you seen the Bayeux Tapestry?
I've seen pictures of it. I've not seen the actual tapestry.
Okay, first and foremost, one of the best tourist attractions I've ever gone to, because you get the audio and you walk and it's essentially a narrated comic strip. It's like you're watching a cartoon.
That's
it's
great.
Amazing. That's it's so, so cool. And I bet some of your ancestors are actually on it.
That'd be cool.
Because they've got loads of like fight scenes with armies. Who knows? Who knows what the top of the head
Wait,
is?
Wait, it literally does look like a comic strip.
Yeah. Mm. It's sick.
That is it chronological?
That was the original Dilbert.
Yeah.
Is it? Does it tell the
Kathy
story?
Kathy in the corner going, "Ack! The Normans are invading."
Is it the story? Is it just like the vibe of war? Or does it tell the story?
It's
in
the
order?
Story with That's like scenes. Cool. It's really, really cool. And then basically everything, because it was shown to people who couldn't read as a history lesson. So they would tour it around and be like, yo, here's what happened. And they'd be like, cool.
It is amazing. Like, obviously, propaganda is never... Oh, it was never a fully accurate historical thing. But it is cool that the propaganda in the old days used to have a lot of effort put into it. Like, it was, like,
and
embroidered
aesthetic.
And stuff. Yeah. Like, imagine if Breitbart was embroidered. That would be fantastic. I'd appreciate
You'd have to
it.
You think a little more, wouldn't you, about the hate you were spewing?
If everyone on GB News wasn't drag, I'd watch.
Oh, my God. Well, do you know my drag act?
Wait, what is it?
Oh, my God.
We
I'm so sorry.
We've got to get into this. Okay. A new era. This, for stand-up comedian.
It did. Add to my hyphen, it's drag queen.
I can't believe I didn't say that. You're going to love
is,
this.
My drag act, Jan Honkers.
Okay, first of all, you're slaying.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you look genuinely amazing in that outfit.
My boyfriend Reese did the...
Are.
Yeah, they're pretty perky.
To describe it for our audio readers... Everything is reading now. Every time I say I've read a book, I'm like, oh no, wait, that was a TikTok. For our audio readers, for our esteemed, intelligent audio readers, you're wearing, I would say, a gorgeous suit.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely would wear that.
Bought it for myself. This is
stunning.
I just sort of had
not
it.
Not even a joke. Fantastic. Mm. Like almost like a mosaic, a small mosaic pattern. Mm-hmm.
It's
black
like
and white.
Tootsie if she slayed.
Yeah, exactly. And then like a crop, more than a bob, a pixie, if you will. And some rather fabulous earrings. And who did your makeup?
My boyfriend Reese did my makeup. He did a
jewelry.
Very good job. Especially because he's never done it before.
What?
What?
That's his first
that
attempt
really
at doing makeup.
Wait,
how did he
actually? I don't,
how did he get
that,
the lines so straight?
He's annoyingly good at artistic things, including
God
makeup.
Damn it.
Oh, it's annoying.
I feel like I just am getting worse and worse and worse at makeup as time goes on. I can't get it to stay on my face. Anytime I put it on, it's just like, I'm like house of wax melting off. I don't even think I'm like that oily or sweaty. Well, maybe I am. I've been a bit sweaty in the shoulder months. But I feel like if I put anything on, even if it's the most permanent makeup, it's like
look
immediately off
every year. I take one item off the rotation. Like I haven't used eyeliner in years.
Interesting.
It's like every year the routine just gets simpler.
You're just like
simpler.
I can't, you're just
so,
all
yeah.
lip now.
So if it's melting,
get rid of it.
Don't even put it on in the first place.
Well, you look fantastic.
Thank you.
So what's the act? Are you allowed to reveal? Are you exclusively revealing?
I don't know if it's an exclusive. I think I may have mentioned it on Trusty Hogs.
All right,
but,
fine.
But it might be out by the time this comes out, actually. So she is Britain's only right-wing drag queen.
Okay, love.
And she's got a show called The World Gone Honkers. And it's like a GB News parody, basically. So there's like just segments of her like solving like some issues in the news and moaning about wokeness. And there's an interview segment with my friend Max and yeah, so that'll be on my YouTube, and it's
really
basically
funny.
GB News in drag. Yeah,
okay, well there you go.
We love, check it out.
Thank
you, must
you.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Back to the Bayeux Tapestry.
Oh yeah, sorry, yes, yeah, I forgot how this started.
Well, actually, I mentioned it. So are you the first performer in your family? Are there other people?
I'm not. No, actually, my granddad, who I've mentioned before, he was a musician, and his grandfather or his father, either way, one of his
a back in time man
was a preacher in the Welsh Valleys, like, and was known as like the silver-tongued preacher, and was like silver-tongued preacher of the Rhondda Valley. He's like very famous for all of his sermons. I was going to say lectures, but that's not the right word.
It is a lecture, isn't it, in a way?
It is very, but not these ones. They were very entertaining, apparently. So he
what
had
kind of years, what era are we talking?
Late 1800s, early 1900s. It must be my granddad's granddad, timeline wise.
Do you know what his name was?
I think it was Edward, but I'm not 100%.
I mean, they were proto stand-up comedians, weren't they? They were addressing congregation every Sunday. You got to have new material. Yeah. You got to make it local. You got to make it relevant to them, topical.
Mm-hmm. And he would travel around. I think he would like cycle around the valleys and do like, because I suppose it was so rural that he'd do like, you know, this village on Monday, that village on Tuesday, and sort of.
Oh, he'd just cover them all?
Yeah.
I love that. Good for him.
So he was. I suppose he's the first person we can look at and say, oh, he's a performer. And then my granddad was a musician.
What kind of musician?
Or pianist, but he did everything, clarinet. Also, he was a very talented musician.
And you got to get the clarinet out.
Yeah.
Everyone's least favorite, but most their instrument.
Is it because it's very easily transportable?
I don't think it's very easily anything. I played the clarinet, but only because I was told I was too small to play the saxophone when I was a child.
Did you want
to
play the sax?
I wanted to play the sax.
You wanted to be Lisa Simpson?
I wanted to be Lisa Simpson.
I can see that.
I guess I must have been eight. And then they told me I was too small for it. I had to play the clarinet. But I don't think that's true.
No, that's not true, surely. There must be some other, like, behind the scenes lie that is
my parents didn't want to listen to it. Maybe that was a big theme in our household, things that my parents didn't want to listen to. But all I'll say is later on at a different school, my senior school, they had a school orchestra, and no one played the bassoon in the school orchestra. So they said, if anyone wants to play the bassoon, we'll lend you a bassoon and maybe you could have like some lessons for free. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. I mean, the bassoon is like the worst instrument in every conceivable way. It's like huge.
I can imagine, but like, why is it the worst? Is it because it's too big? Huge, massive,
like this. Like, you're a child and it's like huge, huge, huge. I had like literally three lessons, and then they were like, you're in the band. All I remember is I played with the orchestra once. We walked out into this room where the orchestra was playing, and I hit my bassoon on the top of the door frame.
No.
And it like crumbled into pieces.
No.
And then I had to put my bassoon back together, which I didn't fully know how to do because I hadn't been playing it very long. Well, every single person watched, and then my teacher was like, you should test a note. And the bassoon, honestly, it was like, I played it and it was like, and then everyone clapped for me, and then I sat in the back and I didn't play a note the rest of the show. I just held it and pretended.
I like the idea that they just wanted the visual.
Yeah,
a postcard,
they just
of
wanted a bassoon in the back.
That's fantastic.
That's what the movie Tara is about.
A kid at my school played the harp, and not like my age, like several years younger. I think he was like year seven when I was like leaving sixth form. But he used to see this little year seven traipsing full harp into school for his music lessons. Yeah.
Do you carry it like a snail?
He did.
Push it even? Was it a small one?
No. Well, it was. I suppose it was smaller than a full harp, but it was still big, you know. Oh. Especially where he was literally like 11.
My brother was a cellist, cello bad as well for size.
Charlie and I have this bit called doing a big, which is when you see a grown adult doing something extremely childish, like having three glasses of orange juice, and you're like, oh, that's a child in a grown adult's body, right?
Like the,
you're
doing, like the movie.
Tom Hanks big. Yeah.
I think it's a reverse big if a child is playing harp.
I agree. That's an old soul. Yeah. Yeah, that was
trapped.
It started because we went to Mac Comedy Festival, slept one night in a tent, worst night of my whole entire life. Yeah. I honestly thought we were going to die. Yeah. We were so unprepared. Everyone else we were meant to be sharing a tent with had been there the night before and had given up already, but no one told us it was too cold and impossible. Mm-hmm. I was like hallucinating.
It was like sub-zero how bad it was.
It was horrendous. Gosh. And then we got up in the morning and we were like, we're going to have a fancy breakfast. We went to a fancy breakfast place and there was a man eating It's not a coupe, is it? It's like one of those ice cream glasses. He was having a big ice cream.
For breakfast.
A big ice cream and an orange.
That's
cream.
A
love
big.
That.
That's a big.
We were like, that guy is doing a big.
100%. That's all I needed to know. That's all the scientific evidence I needed.
That's fantastic. Imagine if you do end up in a sort of big situation where you've had this body swap and you're in McCuntliff. That's who it happens to. Somebody in a random Welsh town.
Yeah.
And why not?
The silver tongue preacher.
Yeah.
So your family? Where do you consider your family to be from? Are you like where are you from? Are you like, I'm a bit Welsh?
No, I'd say Bournemouth mainly.
Born and bred.
Yes,
we are Bournemouth.
So my granddad, he does have Welsh roots, but he moved to Bournemouth. So he was stationed in Bournemouth during the war and would stay at my nan's house. They'd be like put up as like lodgers, you know, while they were traveling, and then my nan and her sister would like try and fight over and flirt with the bandsmen that had come from the army.
Wait, so he was doing music for the army?
Yeah, yeah. So he was an army musician. He played at the Queen's coronation, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, in the military band. And he they come every year for whatever this thing was. I guess like a regular annual concert. And so my granddad was like 17, 18, and met my nan when she was like 14. And then 3-4 years later, they went on a date, and then they've been married. Well, they were married for ages. What's that, 60 years? Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did they have a party for their, is it golden at 60?
I think it is. And they got a letter from the Queen and everything.
That's exciting.
Yeah. What did they do? I can't remember. We used to have a lot of family parties, so they all sort of blend into one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lots of buffet food and the
60
time
years
warp.
Is amazing. That's a long time.
Yeah,
you got to meet real young to make 60 happen.
Oh, for sure. And they met real young and they got real old. Like my granddad was 90 this year. He got to 90 this year. Yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, wow. So he was going back every year and he was staying at their house.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like forming a relationship with the family.
Yeah, yeah. And then, nice. Yeah. And then he, when he was finished with army stationing, he just moved to Bournemouth. And then, yeah, so I'd say my family is Bournemouth. My dad's Essex, but I've lived in Bournemouth since I was like 3. So, yeah.
What's it like?
It's all right. It's very dead.
It's all right. It's basically horrible. But I like it.
It is nice. I like the beach. We moved to Salisbury like when I was a teenager for school. So I'd say I'm from Salisbury because there's other people from Bournemouth, whereas I can claim to be like the only Salisbury comedian.
Yeah.
So marketing wise, I say I'm from Salisbury.
Right.
Yeah,
like
they're both sort of retirement cities, really. So there's nothing going on. There's not much for young people. It was great when I was starting comedy because I started up all the comedy nights. I'd be like, oh, put on a comedy night, and everyone was like, oh, there's nothing else on. So it's all right. It's not ideal. I like going back, but I don't want to live there.
Yeah. I'd say this is very in the spirit of the silver tongue preacher, to start doing your own nights.
Yeah, setting up my own little congregation.
What else
congregations.
Do you know about him? What else were you ever told about him?
Not much. There's a few like news articles about him from like the Welsh Valley papers, and we've got his certificate to be a preacher, like the Baptist certificate. That's just in our lounge at the moment. Yeah.
I don't want to dwell on this, but can we go back to your
family tree.
And just. Can you give us like a whistle stop tour? Mm-hmm. And if there's like specific characters you want to shout out.
Okay. So
like a cast of characters.
These are all my aunts and uncles.
Set the scene. Yeah.
Any fun ones?
Not really.
Who's your favorite aunt or uncle?
I hope they don't listen to this. But my favorite is my aunt Donna and my uncle Steve. They're very lovely. They're very down to earth. Dave's a bit further out, so we don't get to see him as much.
Yep.
Andy is very nice, but he's very well off, so just doesn't quite have the same.
He can't understand.
Yeah. Whereas Donna and Steve are very, very lovely and
they're the ones.
Yeah, they're the ones. And they come to a lot of my comedy gigs. They're very
supportive.
Okay,
well there you go.
Well then they've earned their place. They're
also, nice. I do think down to earth is a compliment that's often given to people who you don't expect to be. Like down to earth is something you would tell a celebrity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So down to earth.
Yeah. I'm going to start, when people ask what you're like, I'm going to start saying so down
to earth. There's a great sort of like underlying, because it's not just like, oh, she's really like nice and relatable. It immediately implies that she's actually very well off.
You don't know. That's it. That's how you start it, right? It's like saying like, oh my gosh, she looks amazing for her age. What?
That's really good. I'm going to start adding that to for her age.
I'm going to say that about you as well. That's even better.
She's very down to earth for her age.
She looks fantastic for her age.
It is the ultimate compliment. Down to earth and fantastic for my age.
Yeah. All right. So we aunts and uncles. We're done.
Aunts and uncles.
Who is the oldest person in your family that you ever met in person?
It would have been my granddad. I think maybe I met my nan's mum. Granny French, but I would have been a wee babby, so I don't remember that.
Fine.
Lots of things going on. Granny French, wee babby.
Wee babby, yes.
Is this a Bournemouth accent thing? Or
No, that's just me being cute. Oh, yeah, okay. I guess.
He just was a wee babby. Of course you were a wee babby.
Yeah.
Look at you now. Of course you were.
Still, you're 24.
Yes,
you were born in
99? 99, yeah.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We can't get into that. That's too upsetting.
The risk of the risk of a Y2K baby. Your parents really said, we don't give a shit.
So who back further than that do you know something about?
Let's see. So my granddad's brother, Ivor, he was his older brother. He died in the war. He was on him and his other brother were both in the Navy. One of them sank and went down with the ships. That's Ivar. So yeah, this is Thomas Paget, my granddad. And then his dad was John Paget, born 1846. So that would be the Silver-Tongued Preacher, I believe. Preacher. Yes. And then they're all in like Wales. Then they end up in Wiltshire and Somerset for a bit, Bristol. And then it's Swaffham. Swaffham all the way back. So they're all Norfolk people, Norfolk folk from 1500 till about 1700.
Do you know what records exist there if you went back to look? Do they have a...
We know exactly. It's in Swaffham Priory. We'd have to go into the...
You must.
Yeah. What I do know, though, I've just remembered this because I've noticed further back on the family tree. So our family name is Paget, P-A-G-E-T-T. But if you go further back, it's spelt differently with one T because the Pagets were actually a very wealthy family. And
very down to earth.
Very down to earth, but very wealthy.
And look fantastic for their age.
And Leeds Castle is...
That's where... I was like, where have I heard the name Paget?
Yeah, it was owned by the Pagets. And if you go... Oh my God, it's crazy. If you go and see the like portraitures, just portraits or portraiture. I don't know why I mixed that up.
I would not know the difference. It sounds good.
Yeah.
If you go and see the portraits, they're... they look so much like my cousins. Like there's a picture of a young like girl from like the 1800s or something. It's painting, and it looks exactly like
my
cousin.
Wait, so they
Emily.
Are relatives? Of
they
course.
Are relatives. But what happened was our line of the family lost all the money, went bankrupt, had to start again with two T's. So it goes P-A-G-E-T-T.
So they didn't let them use the full name anymore because they
had to start
broke.
Again. Yeah, I can see it. I can see the pain in my mother's eyes every time she's writing her name or her maiden name. She go P-A-G-E-T-T. T. Yeah.
And do you know how they lost their money?
I don't know what happened, no. But I've met other Pagets that are still rich. That
one T Pagets.
One T Pagets that descended from the
well, you should
side.
Also, I bet they have their family tree very well documented.
Yeah, I think to be honest, I think this might be a collaboration because my mum like spoke to them a little bit. So this is...
So where did it become the double T?
Just before we moved to Wales, so that is 1800s.
What?
Same thing happened to Charlie's family because she's from the Dunkin' Empire.
The donuts. People always, when I was a child, would be like, Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, no money. But did I tell you that my dad was like, I think I've already, have I literally told this story already on this podcast?
Which bit?
That my dad was like really desperate to find someone rich in our...
No.
My dad did our family tree and you could just like see it in his eyes that he was just like he was desperate to find out we were like had some like landed gentry or some like lords or some shit back in time. But there's just no way. There's no way on either side that could happen. But anyway, he like through a series of things seemed to think that we were connected to this family, the Griswolds, the Grizzolds or whatever. And then he contacted like truly the same time period or even like the 1500s. And then he contacted the Grizzold family trust in America and they were like, no. You are not related
delete
to
my
us.
Number.
Never call us again.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he just wanted, I don't know why he wanted it. He wanted something, but it's like there's no way in our family.
He wanted to Anastasia. Yeah. Everybody secretly wants to be Anastasia.
He's looking for the I do respect that he's looking for the lost millions, but it's like if you can track the lost millions from your great aunt 10 times removed who had no kids and it's going to the RSPCA or whatever, like all power to you.
But, the problem is we can track the lost millions, but we know that we have lost them.
Devastating.
So it's like we don't have any claim to it. It's like, yeah.
So they, sorry. But Leeds Castle is older than then.
Yeah, yeah.
So your family also, that is your family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it is genuinely striking, the family resemblance. And you actually get free entry to Leeds Castle if you can prove you're a Paget, they'll let you in for free.
Do you do it?
Yeah, we've been. It's nice. I like it there. I feel belonging, yeah.
So you think they look like your cousins, but not so much like you. Something about your cousins.
Yeah, my cousins are more patchy. My dad's genes are strong. I showed you a picture earlier of my dad when he was my age.
Yeah, you really look like your dad.
He's really won the sort of genetic race.
So this is all your mom's side of family?
This is all my mom's side of family,
What's your dad's side of the family like?
Well, that's a mystery. That really is a mystery. He's not even willing to entertain. My mother is obsessed with genealogy and my dad will not give her any information. I think part of what happened is that my dad's dad, he was raised by his grandparents. And I don't know what's happened there, but basically...
My grandma was raised by her grandparents.
Mm. And but do you know what's happened there? Or?
Yeah, so I've told you this before, but basically, siege, is that the word? Mm-hmm. How you pronounce it? There's a siege of Leningrad So the Nazis took it over and completely shut up the city. And as they were beginning it, only kids and really old people were allowed to leave. So her mom put her on a train and said, go to your grandparents. And her mom died in the siege. Wow. So she was raised by her grandparents. And my grandma used to call her grandparents mom and dad.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's an amazing story.
That's a great story.
And what a hard thing to have done, but like such a brave thing to have
done. Yeah, to just like let your kid just go.
Yeah.
So that just, then it just skips a generation, like a generation's just gone, but they managed to like endure because of that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's really beautiful. That wasn't what happened to our family, was it?
No. So wait, what?
I don't know what happened, but my dad is very sort of like, he's not necessarily bothered by blood. He is like, you know,
my Tinder profile.
That is the one hard limit on every Grindr profile, by the way. They're like, very few limits, just blood and shit. And sometimes not even shit. Sometimes it's just blood. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up. But just you said that triggered a memory of my Grindr days. Anyway,
your Grindr days and your granddad days. All in one.
Much like your granddad, you were not bothered by blood.
But in the sense that my granddad's grandparents were effectively his parents. So my granddad thinks of his great-grandparents as his grandparents. Yeah. And he will not, he doesn't care what happened to my granddad's actual parents. Or he may know, but he doesn't want to find out. Or he doesn't want to share it because in his mind, that's who raised him. So they're my grandparents and that's the end of it.
Fine.
So there's some...
Wait, so your grandparents are your great-grandparents?
No, my great-grandparents are actually my great-great-grandparents.
So your dad doesn't know his granddad?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he only knows his great-granddad and his dad.
As his granddad.
Yeah. But for all intents and purposes, that is his granddad. He doesn't care or want to address what happened. Yeah.
How much of a age difference is there? Do you think there was like a very young pregnancy or something?
I don't know. I'm very out of touch with anything above my granddad's generation, really. We sort of lost. I just got grandparents.
Yeah, it's hard if there's no records and no... Mm. I think I have one remaining grandparent and I think she's like just a little bit losing it now. She's in her 90s. She loves to complain about how her neighbor repeats herself all the time and doesn't listen. And it's like, Sheila, you neither. You know what I mean? You got no idea what you're talking about. But... you can like feel, I'm like, oh, all these things. I do have stories from her, but like the time to really ask for way back stories is gone. Mm-hmm. And it makes her sad to think about them. So she doesn't even really want to tell you about it anymore. Yeah. And then you're like, well, no one else can access that. That then is gone.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely like when my Uncle Bill died, for example, so that's my granddad's brother. He had so many like war stories and like he was like one of the first aircraft carriers in the world. And they just used to lose so many planes. They'd be like, okay, test maneuver, turn left, and they turn left, and all the planes would fall over. Ah, oh, fuck. Gotta go back for some more planes.
What?
Yeah.
All the time, their planes are just sliding off the boat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because there was, it's such a new thing to have, like, an aircraft carrier in the sea.
Oh, my God.
And
you never see this on Top Gun.
But my mum and my dad would always say, oh, we wished we talked to Bill more because he had so many interesting stories.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
so. But I do know that an interesting thing has happened in your dad's family recently.
Yeah, I think this must have happened in 2018. So my granddad moved the family over to South Africa in the 70s.
This is the granddad whose biological parents we don't know anything about.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So my dad's dad.
What's his name?
Peter.
Peter.
Okay. He's called Peter. My uncle's called Peter, and my brother is called Peter. Okay. Peter.
A lot
three
of
generations.
Peters.
Yes.
Do you distinguish with a different name, or everyone goes by Peter?
Junior, senior.
Well, I suppose. No.
Petey and
big. My
big
mum.
Pete.
My mum calls granddad and uncle Peter. Big Pete and Little Pete.
Okay.
But I just call them Granddad, Uncle Peter, and then my brother's just...
Yeah, fine. Pete, so you've got good names for them all. Okay, so...
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at UH1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss.
That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Peter won.
Yes, moved to South Africa in the 70s. Apparently there's a lot of building work. He was a builder by trade. So they went over to South Africa, him, my dad and his twin brother, and their sister, my aunt, and my grandma, who sadly died in 2006, which we shall come back to. Ooh.
Pin it.
Pin in that. I've just I've removed the excitement of the callback there by foreshadowing it. But anyway, the point
it's
is they
Chekhov's gun.
They moved to South Africa.
Sorry, Chekhov's gram.
Chekhov's gram. moved to South Africa, lived there for several years, came back, I guess, probably 11, when my dad was about 11 or 12. So that would have been late 70s, early 80s. And then that's all I knew of that period.
Yes.
And then 2018, somebody gets in touch via my dad's cousin to say that they are a long-lost relative. They're from South Africa. And what happened was my nan fell pregnant in South Africa. So they had a fourth child, an extra sibling, who is now my uncle, Justin. And they left him in South Africa. They put him up for adoption. And he was adopted by a very good family. He was adopted by like a UN like secretary or something like something crazy like that. So he's had a very good life. But it's very interesting about it, on the point of nature or nurture. Even though he's been raised by like lawyers and UN people and like such a respectable household, he's a real tearaway. He's like he feels like he's an Essex lad.
Yeah,
it's so strange.
There's something in him
because we've met him because he got into contact via a cousin. His wife, very thankfully, is a private investigator, and my mother is.
Oh my god, that's
a great wife. That's a great wife.
So cool.
And my mother was also searching for him because she's a massive like family history fan. So they just sort of ended up meeting.
So was it known by your dad's immediate family that this kid existed?
Well, here's what happened, right? Okay, Chekhov, you're gonna love this. on my nan's deathbed, she handed over a piece of paper, and she had his name written down and his date of birth. So she'd always had his information and always. So when she died, they all found out about this extra sibling.
I literally have goosebumps right now.
And it was sort of just never addressed. It was sort of, I think, so awkward amongst the siblings. And obviously granddad didn't want to talk about it. So it just got left. But my mum knew about it. And my mum is nosy. And was just desperately
your mom.
Like,
she's a private investigator.
Yeah. Oh, she used to be a lawyer. Well, she still is a lawyer, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, she's got that sort of instinct to dig.
So she wrote this name down, and mm-hmm. no one cared.
I don't know whether they're a very repressed group.
I mean, it sounds like.
Yeah,
it.
I mean that thing about it's like hard. my granddad's parents.
Yeah,
it's not. As much as my dad presents it as a matter of pride, like, no, that's who raised me, so that's who matters. It is just like...
Yeah.
Wait, so granddad Pete, still alive? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How did he feel about this
did
being
he meet his
revealed?
Kid?
He did. So, yeah, so they got in contact, I guess, 2017,
this
and they came over to the UK in 2018. Because I showed you the picture of the three of them, didn't I? My dad, his twin, and Justin.
Yeah, and they look exactly the same.
It's like no denying the genealogy of it all. And they came over. It was crazy. It was really weird seeing them together. Like his personality, like so matched my dad's. His look was obviously exactly the same. It was strange. I think my granddad, who's obviously a very repressed man and very traditional sort of, you know, man of the house. This is how things should be done. He's calmed and eased in his later life, but he's still. I don't think he wasn't warm to the idea. He didn't reject it, but he wasn't warm to the idea.
And it's his child too.
Yeah, so he's not. I don't think he's made much effort to sort of like keep in contact.
Do you have any, I mean, this is all very personal stuff now, but it's like, did any of them ever give a like reason why they, what did your new uncle seem to think was the, would have been told to him?
I've only been privy to bits and bobs is my mum loves to bitch. My goodness, she would never say that. She'd never admit that, but she does. And like, ever
again,
since...
she's a definition of it's gossip if it's not your family, but if it's your family, it's research.
Oh, 100%. Oh, well, she's been researching her whole life, let me tell you. Genuinely, she used to like drive me into school. I'd be like, I don't know, like 9 or 10, like late primary school, early secondary school, and throughout all my school years, really. She'd be like driving me to school, just be like moaning about, and your dad won't do this, and he won't do that. And of course, you know, it all goes back to his father because of this. And I'm like, I'm 11. This is also my father. But she loves. She's told me. I think she just trusts me as like a I guess I am maturer than my other siblings and perhaps my dad as well. I've been told I have the vibe of somebody raised by their grandparents.
You have the vibe of someone who would play harp in a...
You're definitely mummy's little assistant, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Well, on that exact note, when I was, I'd say 10, 11, my mother said to me that I would be the executor of her will.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. And here is Thank you, mummy. I'm ever so grateful.
You were like, let's get the papers out. I'll read them through now.
And here is the will is ready, and I am the executor.
You are.
I am indeed. It all came true.
Oh, man. Yeah,
she did actually raise you from birth to do that. She made it seem like it's like, oh, your personality developed, and then that's who you are.
Oh, my God, what are you having? An executor.
You know what? When parents have a kid just to give their older kid a kidney, that's what your mom was doing, but will execution.
She saw it in your eyes at 11. She was like, this
kid can do admin. Yeah, that was it.
That's so good.
She's got like an emergency file, and it's just like, you know, when I go, here's all the information. Here's what you need to do. Here's all the progress. My dad's alive and well. He could have done this.
He knows he's not gonna have it.
It's me.
Wait, that's amazing.
So, but the point is, all I've got of what the family reaction has been via my mother bitching, who I'd say has a propensity to be skeptical of the in-laws in a sort of cartoonish way. I guess my view is a bit skewed, but I think my granddad, there's probably a lot of repressed shame about leaving Justin back there. I think is what was said is that perhaps there was thoughts that maybe it wasn't his baby, which is definitely not true so that's perhaps why it happened.
Certainly some complex situation, I thought. And then, do you think the plan was that they would always move back, or did they move back as a result? You know, was the move back expected?
I think the move back was part of the financial situation of the time and where the best building work was.
A couple of things. Mm-hmm. First of all, I kind of understand why your granddad is cold now, because it would have to mean going back on decades of like your indecision, and that is, it's just like you would convince yourself that you were right, because you can't live with the accountability of the fact that you were wrong. That would be too much to bear. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense to me. But imagine your grandma, who lived her entire life thinking about him.
Yeah.
Like if that's the thing that you decide to leave behind.
Yeah, it's really wild to say on your to feel. So she obviously like had thoughts about it and feelings about it, and then.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's so strange because you see on all the time you see these like family reconnection shows, and they're like, "We found your mother; she's passed away," and so you never get to meet her. And it's always like feels like so quite sad, but it's very weird to experience it live.
Yeah,
and obviously I'm a generation removed. Even then, it was still just like that's just unthinkable. It's very hard to fathom what that must feel like.
We've learned some huge things about your family.
Yeah.
Do you have any other crazy secrets, stories, bits?
That's a good question. I don't think so. My family's quite tame from my parents' generation downwards. We're quite normal, and everyone does various different
What's
things.
What's your sibling situation?
I've got a brother and a sister. They're technically both half brothers and half sisters, but again, it was always drilled into me by my dad that, you know, that sort of labelling doesn't really mean anything.
Older, younger?
Oh, much older. Yeah, my brother is 11 years older than me, and my sister is 18 years older than me, maybe. I think I think my mother had me very late.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Those two things go
hand
in hand.
She was like, these two other kids, they're not interested.
Yeah, so I think I was, as much as it's a problematic term, I think I was quite a geriatric pregnancy, really.
How old was she?
I don't know. I can't do that. She's very effusive.
We don't have to say your mother's effusive. Age on this podcast.
Obfuscating. Obfuscating. Yeah, about her day of birth. I can do the maths and work out what it is, but for her sake, I shan't.
Yes, with respect. We will reveal everything on this podcast apart from the age of any woman.
Yeah. But she certainly looks good
for her age.
She really does, you know. Good. Like, because she's almost the same age as my boyfriend's grandma, and his grandma is... It's a grandma. She's a grandma. Yeah, she looks like an old woman. And my mother, she's a battle axe. She does not... Yeah.
I confirm this because my mom had my brother at 44, and he's now 20, mm-hmm. and she looks amazing comparing to her friends who did not have that. And they're it's good. Like, a child keeps you young.
That's the secret to youth.
A child keeps you young. Because she, like, you got to be switched on because you have a teenager in your house that you mm-hmm. need to, like, make sure does their SAT.
And you're around other younger parents.
Yeah, exactly. More you're regularly as well.
Although I would say the pressure of looking after a teenager was maybe not in my case. I was very independent, as we've established.
Yeah, you were just like the most pleasant teenager. I was the easiest.
Do you know what's great? My nephew, William, he came down to do college in Bournemouth. He's from Kent. He lives in Kent, but he came down to do college in Bournemouth. So he moved in with my parents, and so then they had an experience of like a proper teenager. And they were like, oh my God, Andrew, you were the easiest child ever. This is a teenager going out with his friends, like worried about him doing drugs and stuff. And I was just there like, oh, my VHS of Cats has been overwritten. Oh God, I hope I find a new one soon.
What were your, when you were a teenager, what were your interests? What was your vibe? Who was your close friendship group? Paint us a picture of Andrew as a young teen. Obviously, you're not that far off being a teenager.
I was going to say, up until I'd say 14, 15 is a very different image. I think 14, 15, when I started to learn a little bit about our old friend Shame.
We turned things around.
It really did. I really adjusted myself and adapted myself from about that age. But pre that, very precocious, loved performing, loved acting, loved musical theatre. I was in the Poetry Society. I had a collection of fedoras and hats.
I just knew you would be a fedora. It would like it wouldn't have occurred to me, but now you say it, you were a fedora boy for sure.
It was really cringy. There's some stuff I look back on. I'm like, it's really cringy. And then I don't know what
happened. And it's so well documented because you're so young.
Yeah. Oh God, there's so many. I'll see if I can find.
It's all there.
A picture of it of me like in my fedora with like my Crocs and stuff, just out of shot. I was a very cringy child.
No, you were dressing fun. You were enjoying things. You were having a good time. Mm-hmm. Then you had to pull it all in because everyone else sucks. And then you were into being at home, being quiet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you were into going out and doing some comedy.
Well, no, I actually started comedy at 15. So,
around even at home being quiet.
No, around the time I sort of started becoming less cringy, I started doing comedy. It's questionable when the actual transition happened. My friend Henry claims, my childhood friends, Henry's one of them. He claims that, pardon me. He claims that, I just get very emotional.
Everyone's starting comedy story. It is sad.
He claims that he saved me from obscurity. He claims that when I was year 7, year 8, I was an absolute loser, which is true. And that because of his my association with him is why I got cool.
He's Tom Hanks in the Elvis biopic.
Enemies when you got a Henry telling you he made you. That's funny.
Oh, can I just relive my favourite moment of the Elvis biopic?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's him doing his awful accent. Is and who would have thunk that the little kid from Nashville, Tennessee would be the biggest star in the world? Is that even possible? And then it's a spinning roulette wheel, which transitions into a spinning version of Tom Hanks's face as
the colonel.
Yeah, it like spins into his face. It's like, oh, is it possible for this boy to become the world superstar? And then he's got like a poker chip and he goes, wanna bet? My favourite moment of the film.
He loves to play Eastern European. How do you feel about Tom Hanks playing Eastern European?
I give him a blank check for anything. Given the fact
that he's allowed, the greatest actor of our generation.
I'm sorry, I'll say this. There are other men in the Hanks family doing more problematic accents.
That's true. They really are putting him into perspective. I watched such a bad... I mean to start such a bad film. Please. But I watched The Pope's Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
Which is apparently based on a book. A real book about a real man,
okay,
who was an exorcist for the Pope, and he claims he did thousands of exorcisms. The dates don't check out. And then I was like, how's he counting thousands? And then he was like, sometimes thousands of demons are in one body.
Oh, come on.
But my favorite thing about the entire film, okay, two things I loved about the film. One thing is he rides a little Vespa scooter around. He works at the Vatican, and then he's going to this town near Madrid in Spain to deal with one of the demons, the devil. And one shot of him juddering off on his scooter. I looked it up. 18 hours in a car it would take you to get between the two.
No.
Yeah, they really, it's like insane. But love
also,
it.
Imagine taking a Vespa to an exorcism.
He's doing it. He's going, Russell Crowe, I will say, doing an okay Italian accent, I feel like, but at times it does verge on a little Dolmio, you know what I mean? Mm. He's like, you gotta get a devil out of here. It's like, ooh, I don't know, Crowe, if you should have done that.
Oh, that's very funny.
Wouldn't recommend, but whatever, you could watch it.
That
you
is.
You could watch that's it. That's my review. You could really, watch really it. Funny. It is available to be watched.
New Netflix collection. You could watch this.
If nothing else,
you pig,
put it on in the background.
So I found a picture of, this is me as a child.
Oh my goodness.
I guess I'm about age six here.
We'll have to share it somehow, but you adorable. And then this, you look very different though.
Yeah, I used to be very skinny. What happened was, and I hate this, I'm trying to do comedy about this to sort of address my shame around this. I went to a private primary school. So this is me at a private school. But I was
in a little blazer.
Yes, but what I did was, I was private from like age 4 till 8, which feels like a waste, because all that's happened is that I've been formed at such a very integral age into a precocious cunt, but I've not been kept on to make any connections to make use of it.
Aww.
You know, I like you just made me into a very insufferable person, kicked me into the mainstream education, and I don't even have like any like, oh, old chums I can call on now.
Have any banker buddies.
So that's me, age 6. And then
you're adorable.
I went to who'd have thunk it? When you go to a state school, the foods aren't as healthy. They don't have like a nutritionist planning all the meals, and they don't have like loads of PE equipment and fields to run in. And so I just piled on the pounds. And then this is my fedora era.
No, wait, why is your hair dark?
Yeah, my hair's been, I started blonde and then went very dark, and it's sort of come back to this.
Were
now
you wearing a fedora every day? Also, that's not just food related as well. Like teenagers, like all sort of gain weight, lose weight, you know what I mean? Like body fedora things happen to teens as
true
they grow.
I just remembered there's another picture on my Instagram at @standupandrew. There's that, it probably
what
shows me perfectly.
What did you think the perfectly fedora was giving you?
I don't know.
Sophistication?
Who were you dressing like? They're cool sunglasses.
Okay, well,
those.
I'm in love. Thank with you.
Yeah.
He's also wearing, is it a Kermit shirt?
Yeah, it says, I mean to be green or to mean.
A Kermit shirt, yeah. I'll describe for our readers. A Kermit shirt, square sunglasses, a fedora hat, and you're sitting in like an old timey car.
Yeah, this is my granddad. So my granddad's really into old cars. So this was like some.
You look cool as hell.
Drive
you
along.
It's giving Bugsy Malone. It's giving
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fuck your bitch.
Truly, visualize that. Who would want a fedora in your head that you were like, the fedora is the answer?
I literally don't know. I don't know where this has come from in my head to be so obsessed. I had a whole hat collection. I still do. I've not thrown any of them out. Mostly fedoras, a few fezes, a very culturally inappropriate like Chinese hat. But I got it from China. I don't know if that makes
okay
it better or not.
That's okay.
Yeah. And just weird. I don't know why I got so obsessed with hats. And I've sort of come back into wearing caps because my hairline's going, but I generally don't like hats
you
at all.
I once got confiscated at school. I had like effectively, I think it was a fedora. It was like a sort of angular thing, but I was wearing it because I'd seen Chicago the musical. It got confiscated day one, minute one, day one.
You get one day. You get a pass after Chicago.
That might be what it is. I do love musical theatre. I was in Bugsy Malone when I was about 13.
There you go. That's probably why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to ask both of you what's the most obscure item you'd leave in your will, but I think it's obviously your hat collection.
My hat collection, yeah.
That's a
Which one of you would like it?
Yeah, well, are you, okay, yeah, does it we'll have to be it preserved? Does it have to be preserved as
a
group?
Does it have to go to a museum? It needs to be, that's
can't
the
be separated.
What's the most obscure thing you'd leave in your will?
Oh, God. I think that painting of me as a child.
You do have that really excellent painting.
An oil painting of me as an 8-year-old.
With one big foot.
One big foot. Bigger than my head.
Wow.
Yeah, it's in my house now.
That's it's fantastic. Amazing.
It looks like a shrine to me.
It's amazing.
Would you like it, Charlie?
I'll have that. I mean, the thing, not in my will, but I do think a lot about who gets my dog if I die suddenly. Mm. I mean, obviously, my boyfriend, the obvious one. But then I'm like, who could I give my dog to who would be, like, most annoying for them to have it, you know? It's like, who can he really cause some chaos onto the
your
end
brother
of his life?
He's got a big house.
My brother would hate to have my dog, so I should leave it to my brother.
And he has a backyard, so it's like the dog needs
the dog
can
have
room
a nice life. Look, the dog will have a nice life. The dog will make sure the dog has a nice life wherever the dog goes. The dog is looking out for number one. But
that's like such a classic like heartwarming comedy, isn't it? Where you like got left a dog of a relative who died, and you really miss the relative, and then you connect with the dog. And, you know, I always hated that damn dog. And,
Very good.
Yeah, like, stuck up with you, like, ooh.
So I'm really giving it someone a gift.
And if I know anything about Louis, Louis will instinctively find your grave and then bark and be just, very annoyed at it.
Be furious. Yeah. He's
They're
going to
do
asshole.
Like Greyfriars Bobby, but it's just him just barking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he'd sit on my grave for two minutes and then he'd be like, is there a bed near here? You know what I mean? It's be like, is there somewhere I can sit where I'm not allowed to sit? I'd rather be like soft. Yesterday I came in, he was sitting on my bed, which he isn't even supposed to do, but whatever. It's like, we no longer can fight this. And he was like licking his own paws so intensely that he'd like made a wet patch on my duvet. Isn't that gross?
I'm about to say one of the most bizarre things ever, but I want you to really hear it.
Tell me.
Louis would objectively suit a fedora.
Okay, actually, truly believe that.
You look amazing.
He really.
Well, I've got a collection. I'll leave it to Louis. There you go.
Let's get him
in. You look amazing.
When do you think was the last time you wore a fedora?
What was that? Can we keep that question for every episode?
What was the final moment?
I think it must have been around 13, 14. I think I've worn it since, like going through my hat collection, just like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, but not
like,
out.
No, not out. Yeah, 13, 14.
You had one last day that you took it off and you just.
But he would have never known that was the last.
Oh my God, so sad.
That
yeah.
Is sad.
One day you put down your fedora and it's the last and you never know.
Yeah. Oh. Have you ever, did you inherit any objects or things or anything from anyone in your family? Have you ever inherited anything?
No, everything's sort of, because there's generations above me. Everyone's kind of gone for the blanket will of just like, oh, you deal with this shit. So there's not been like a specific, you get this, you get this, you get this. Like when my Uncle Bill died, he left some money and I bought a fucking Doctor Who book.
Yeah, that's the best way to remember him by.
No, exactly. Because I was like 11 or something. Now, of course, if somebody had died and left me some money, I'd probably buy some sort of memento of them. Unless, or not with all of it.
I don't know. I think you should, enjoy it. Enjoy them however you...
Yeah.
No, it's not commemorative money.
No, true, I guess. But no, I've not really been left things. I need to go through my granddad's old music. He gave me a piano, but that's
what
while he was still alive, he gave me the piano.
That counts.
Yeah. He got quite bad arthritis towards the end, so he had to stop playing the clarinet and then he had to stop playing the piano. I think it was really sad, really, because he'd played music since
that's really hard.
We have a very beautiful video of him. We all had a family Christmas last Christmas, or maybe the Christmas before. Where we, Christmas before, sorry. But the last time before my granddad got a bit bedbound and stuff. A bit bedbound. Fully bedbound.
A touch of the bedboundies.
Yeah. we had a family Christmas in a big house and
amazing.
We all like rented this big MB and there was a piano there and there's a video of him playing it. And that's the last time he played the piano.
Oh, but lovely. Mm.
But because he had to stop and I was playing the piano and composing stuff, he gave me a piano. I'd say 5-6 years ago, so yeah, that counts as my
literally huge and emotionally huge thing to have inherited.
Yeah,
because it's the fact that you've inherited a thing that sort of symbolizes.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's very really nice. Sweet.
That's so nice. What's been given to you from in your family?
My grandmother every year would buy me part of like a china set, so she'd be like one cup, one like plate or whatever. So now I think I have like a half full one because she did die.
Like a formal china.
Yeah.
Have you ever
I think it's like meant to be wedding china.
Oh, that's sweet, but only half done and then it's kind of you've got to buy the whole set and then distribute it and then when you die the rest of the set is in your house and goes to the person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I mean, I love how quickly you came up with that plan. Or is the fact that I'm getting half a wedding china set means that I'm going to be alone forever?
Oh,
it could
no.
be that, because it's enough for just me. Okay. Half of one.
Okay, I like that a little bit.
Do you know, those like little ladybug books that are like, oh, The Student, The Hangover, they're like parodies.
Yeah.
1 year, my parents got me The Student and The Hangover, like the year before I was meant to go to university. And then one day, I found a third book called Dating, that my parents had clearly bought to give me the whole three, and then they were like, no.
Oh my god.
I just found it in the cupboard where we like keep gifts. I was like,
no.
Why was this never given to me?
No.
Isn't that brutal?
That is so good.
They bought all three and then they discussed it.
Yeah.
And they were like,
That's good. They must have had a summit about this and decided that no. Either they didn't want to think about me dating, didn't want me to talk about dating, or they just assumed I was the lonely virgin. Which, based on these fedora images, you could forgive.
Yeah, they
didn't
want to make you feel bad.
You can't have both a book on dating and a collection of fedoras. It has to be one of them.
My nana, the year after I left university, suddenly made this like big announcement, and she was like, I'm going to give everyone their inheritance. Everyone's getting their inheritance. I'm going to give you your inheritance. She like made this statement, and then everyone was like, what is happening? And so she gave me £500. We all got £500, right? And then I used it to buy half a laptop, and then that was my laptop that I used. So thank you, Nana. She's not dead. I don't know why I'm being like, thank you, Nana. Thank you, Nana, who is still alive. But then I think she thought she was going to die then, but she's obviously continued to live.
And she's come back for the £500.
And has no money. So now my parents have to like buy stuff for her because she gave it all away.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. It's like when I quit my job the week before COVID started.
Oh, geez.
That's the same energy.
It's the same energy, just like giving out. She gave me a watch, I think it's like a gold watch. It's like very 1950s. I've never worn it or done anything with it. But that was like a nice thing from her. I think just a more sentimental than it. Like maybe it was like a wedding present or something. It's a nice thing to be given.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to do with it. I've got my other grandma's wedding rings.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah, got them in a box somewhere. I got a great aunt of mine gave me a Seder candle holder that was my grandma's apparently. That you put like two, you like open it up. It's like a travel one. And then I have that. I think someone tried to ask for that back off me afterwards, though, but then I didn't give it to them. But I've got that. Someone was then, like, trying to snoop around to see where that was, but it's mine now. So, taff, whoever you are.
Shall we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up. What a lovely chat this has been.
Thank you so much,
Andrew. A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
A delight to speak to you. We've learned so much. I think they're huge, big stories in your family. You
okay,
really
you
set that
own
up like
Leeds Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm your great-grandma.
That's a crazy story in your dad's family. How interesting.
Yeah, it's good. We still keep in touch with Justin. Like, he called to gloat about the South African sporting results recently.
Yeah, that's good. Set that up.
And his wife, Ingrid, my aunt, I guess now, and my mum regularly FaceTime to bitch about my granddad.
And to get the private investigator business going.
So, yes, if you need any private investigating done or your will executed, you know who to call.
All right.
And acting jobs, thank you.
This episode of Family Jewels was produced by our nephew, Andrew White, and our very special guest, Andrew White.
Producing and starring and writing and singing the theme tune.
In the Trusty Honk studio.
I've been your one fun cousin, Charlie Dinkin.
And I've been your dad's brother who's still living in the basement but promises he's leaving any day now, Olga Koch.
Like, subscribe, share, and talk about us at your next family reunion.
If you have any family stories, secrets, or skeletons that you want to share, DM us on Instagram.
Or leave them to us in your will.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.